Well, hello everyone, this is Robin Duncan, and today is part one of our four-part series on miracles in prosperity. And this is all based on the principles of A Course in Miracles, at least in the way that I practice it and share those principles with my family and students and graduates. And as we begin, I must share that the principles that I have learned from A Course in Miracles and those that I practice with any level of consistency have truly proven themselves to me. I see the effects in my life. I see it in my abundance. I see it in my relationships. I feel it even in my own sense of health and well-being. And you will find that the more that you practice these very valuable principles, the more your life just heals and evolves, and your mind gets quieter, your peace comes up, your fear comes down, and so many wonderful things happen as a result. We are going to begin today just looking at some background on what the Course says about the truth of who you are. You are reminded that you are the holy, happy child of God. You are free of all limits. You are safe. You are healed, and you are whole. And somewhere in time, you accepted a false idea that you could be separate from God, or you could be something other than that which you truly are. You are eternal spirit. You have a right to everything good and happy, and in fact, it has already been given. And to accept the false idea that you could be separate from God, A Course in Miracles calls that the crazy mad idea. It says if you really understood what that idea entails, you would laugh at it. You would simply dismiss it as impossible. But because you bought that crazy mad idea of separation, you are now experiencing it just as if it actually occurred. You must remember that you are the child of God. You are the child of the all-powerful, all-wise, all-loving Creator. God is the cause and creator, and you are the effect of the cause. And you cannot be anything other than what the cause intends or created you to be. You know, it's almost like if you ring that bell, the ringing sound would be the effect of striking the bell. Well, the ringing sound cannot redetermine how it will sound, nor can you redetermine what you are as God has created you. In the Course, it teaches us that it is God's will that you are happy and that you have been given everything for your happiness. Now, this might not be your experience right now, and for most people, it's not. And that's what this series is about, is what's going on. If this is the truth of my reality, and God is all in all powerful, then how can I be having an experience that is not reflective of the truth of who I am? It says that you are not aware of the truth of who you are, because somewhere in time, when you accepted that idea of separation, you actually decided against your own identity, and along with that, your own divine inheritance. As you are eternal spirit, you are one with God. There is no separation. There is no fence line. There is no gap. You are like the ray of the sun to the sun, or the wave of the ocean to the ocean. God is the source of that light that flows through you, and you are the extension of that light as you extend and expand out into eternity. As you are the effect of something, you cannot be anything other than what you are created to be. And these are really important points because we're going to borrow on those points. We're going to borrow on the truth just enough so that we can create a space in our mind where the Holy Spirit can enter and accomplish the healing of our misperceptions and our unhealed beliefs. So the rays of the sun, you know, they can't wake up one day and decide that they are no longer the rays of the sun. And just like we cannot be something other than that which we are, We do have the power of decision. So as the holy child of God, we cannot be altered by anything, not even by our own misperceptions. But here's the thing. We can believe we can be altered. We can believe we are something other than what we are. We cannot experience the truth and an illusion at the same time. We cannot be awake and asleep at the same time. And the moment that we accept that we could be separate from God, it's like we threw out our true identity, and in its place, we accepted this false version of ourselves, and now we see ourselves as vulnerable, powerless, and weak. We see ourselves as capable of being sick and sad and disappointed and frail. When we accept what is not true, we forget what is true. In chapter 12 in section 7, paragraph number 9, it says, "The power of decision is your one remaining freedom as a prisoner of this world. You can decide to see it right. What you made of it is not its reality, for its reality is only what you have given it." We want to think about this, that what we see with our eyes is the effect of accepting this idea of separation. We are not looking at the truth. A Course in Miracles teaches us that the world we see is not the real world. And many people have trouble with that. They say, well, how could it not be the real world? I mean, right now I'm sitting in this chair. So what are you saying? This chair is not real? Like, how could it not be real? I'm sitting in it. But I like to compare it to our own, you know, dreams and nightmares and things that we experience, that, you know, when we are in those dreams, we do not question that we are in a dream. We think it's actually happening to us. And would it be too far to reach to imagine that what we're experiencing right now is just yet another layer of that dream state, and that perhaps, thank goodness, we are on our way to a complete and total awakening, such that all nightmares and fear and darkness ultimately disappears, and we are able to reclaim all that is rightfully ours. So the one power of choice is your remaining freedom. And today we're going to learn how to use that power of decision to free ourselves instead of binding ourselves to the ideas of lack and scarcity and delay and illness and darkness and all the rest. So the problem is this. When we choose to believe that we can be something other than what we are created to be, we project the effect of that misperception onto the world we see. And we are very powerful as the child of God. In truth, there's only one of us here because there is no separation. You know, our eyes show us a separated world, 7 billion bodies, you know, plus or minus, and we're looking out on this world of separation, and now where we once knew everything to be loving and light-filled and happy and good without a trace of sorrow, now we look out on a world after we've accepted what is not so, we look out on a world and we see it filled with love and fear, light and darkness, good and bad. And we have accepted what is not true, so that now we are looking out and projecting what we have accepted. Remember how powerful we are. As the Holy Child of God, if we simply entertain what is not true, we will actually project it as if it has occurred. So you are looking at the consequence of your misperception. And if you think about that, that's not such a big deal. I like to think of it as moot, that the consequence of a misperception is really nothing at all. You know, if you're looking at the effect of something that isn't true in the first place, it really is not powerful. It has no consequence of its own. It only has what we have assigned to it. And we are looking at what we believe to be true in the place of the truth. And that is called projection. So we are going to learn that what we're looking at with our eyes is not the truth. We are looking at what we are projecting to be true in the place of truth. Now, the beautiful thing is this, that once we realize this and we are unwilling to use our projections to validate what it is we think we see or validate our financial condition or validate our worth in the world or to our family, once we stop doing that, we create a space in our mind for the Holy Spirit to intervene and to accomplish the healing for us. Remember that you are projecting what is not real in the place of what is real. And what is real is just right there where it's always been. It's like if I look up at the sun, just as an analogy here, but if I look at the sun and I cover my eyes, I might think that the lights went out if I don't remember that I covered my eyes. But in effect, I have not done anything to the sun. I have not made the sun go away or the lights go out. But what I have done very effectively is I am denying my experience of the light. And that's, in essence, what's happening right now. You are denying your experience of the natural state of abundance that flows through you and from you as it comes from the abundance of the Creator and Source. So all of this is very naturally yours. It's kind of like you're standing out in the yard trying to water the lawn, and you're like, where's the flow? You know, how come there's no flow? I thought I turned on the faucet, and yet the hose is kind of filled with little pinholes where the water seems to be leaking out. And those are all the places where we don't realize it, but we are denying what is rightfully ours. We are engaging what is not true. And every time we do this, it's like one of those little pinholes in the hose gets a little bit wider and a little bit more of the flow dribbles out of that hose so that when we get ready to spray the hose, it's like there's nothing there. And that might feel like what you're going through right now in terms of your own prosperity. Like, wow, I turned on the faucet. I did all the right steps. I've put all the work in. I've invested my time and you know, all the things we think opens up that faucet. And I'm listening to God and I'm praying and I'm practicing. And yet the hose just, there's no flow, you know. But we don't realize that along the way we are letting that flow dribble out in our mind. And that's why it's not known to us right now. But through this series, we are going to be showing you where those little dribbling spots are so that we can reconnect with that flow that is already there. You are all powerful as the child of God. And when you accept what is not true, you do not change the truth. Very important to remember this, because that truth is waiting to be remembered. You know, it's almost like if you pulled your hand down, the sun would be right there. It doesn't need to be a process. You don't need to do this for months and months. You don't need to meditate for long hours. This is about really understanding what's going on and making a new choice, remembering that you have the power of decision. It is not up to you to heal your own mind. That is the function of the Holy Spirit. Your part is to make that decision, would I want another way to look at this? Am I willing to be wrong about what I thought I knew so that I can make room for what is true in its place? So your decision to place your hand over the eyes of your own mind and prosperity is what is blocking that flow, but it does not extinguish it. So just feel the relief right now of knowing that your flow of abundance is already there. It's already present. It's almost like you have a trust fund with your name on it. It's already in your account, that you are in the process of remembering your own true identity so that you can claim it. We're not trying to close a gap. We're not trying to create more wealth. We're not trying to chase the carrot. We're not trying to improve ourselves. We're not trying to earn the good grace of our Creator. We are in the process of reclaiming all that is rightfully ours. And A Course in Miracles, it teaches us that it is God's will that we are happy and that we have everything. So the light of our prosperity has not gone out. Thank goodness, right? So we're in the process of finding out what is it that we are doing to block our own vision and our experience with the natural flow of our abundance. It's important to realize that any form of darkness, this is a big point here, and a lot of people have a tough time digesting this idea because they see it everywhere. But hear this. God did not create darkness. God did not create evil. You are not being tested. It is not up to you to figure all this out, but it is up to you to remember and reclaim that you are not made to struggle or sacrifice or be withheld from or be deprived or be tested. That God is pure love, and that love extends only light. And in the presence of light, there is no darkness. Darkness is an idea that represents the opposite of truth. So as we accepted that we could be separate from God, which we know to be a false, crazy, mad idea, well, that crazy, mad idea is reflective of the opposite of the truth. We are one with God. So when we accepted that we could be separate from God, that we could be this finite little self, now we are entertaining the whole package of illusions. You know, the idea of darkness, sickness, lack, scarcity, deprivation, loneliness, abandonment, disappointment, and I could go on and on. But it's when we accepted what is not true, we bought the whole package of illusions, you know, unfortunately, right? There is no opposite. There is no opposing force. Well, some people might say, well, Robin, how is it then that we have terrorists in the world? And how is it that we have sickness? And how is it that we have people that are dying of starvation? And what we are looking at is the outpicturing of this idea of separation. And remember, as the holy child of God, if we accept we can be separate, that is a devastating thought at its very core. And now we are projecting what that means. And so we're looking out into a world of separation and lack and scarcity and all the rest. And that is showing us what we believe to be true in the place of truth. And as we go through what's called the awakening process, we are waking up to remember, oh yeah, I'm the holy child of God. Oh yeah, it is God's will that I am happy and that I have everything. Thank goodness. Thank you, God. And we get back to that place of remembering, and guess what happens? This is the place where our mind begins to heal. And as our mind begins to heal, we look out through our eyes, which are reporting to us what we believe. Our eyes are not seeing, they are reporting to us what we believe. So as we remember what is true, now our eyes are showing us the reflection of the truth. And this is when we will look out into the world and see what looks so lovely and happy and peaceful and abundant, and that we have plenty of everything because it is God's will that we are happy and that we have been given everything to accomplish that happiness already. So this is a little tricky because we are so used to using our eyes to determine what it is we think we see. We use our eyes to determine if we have enough money today. We use our eyes to determine if someone is being kind. We use our ears to listen to see if someone is being loving or not. And what we must do is turn inward, away from our eyes, away from our ears, away from our senses, and reclaim through that space we offer to the Holy Spirit, we're going to reclaim the truth of who we are, and the effect of that is that our perceptions will be healed. And as our perceptions are healed, we will then look out onto a world that is very pleasant to look upon, including the abundance and that natural state of flow that comes from the Creator right through you. Today we are remembering that we are the child of God, the child of the all-powerful, all-wise, infinite Creator of all in all. This is no little thing. And if we accept anything else into our holy mind that is not true, this clouds our vision and our experience, at least until we change our mind. Remember that God is pure love, no opposite. Think of the relief of that, that once you remember what is true, all thoughts of darkness, fear, evil, abandonment, sadness, sickness, everything else that ruins your day and your life, perhaps, all of that is going to be undone in your mind. It will feel like you woke up from the worst nightmare, and you will feel the warmth and the comfort and the happiness and the safety and the bliss of the state that you woke up into. And the Course in Miracles teaches that you will wake up from this, and the Holy Spirit is the one to ensure that you will. Now, your part in this awakening is not to awaken yourself, because you're the one that kind of accepted what is not true and kind of got off in that track in your mind, and now you're kind of freaking yourself out with what you see based on that, and so you're engaging all these illusions, and so you are not the one to wake yourself up. We need to go up in consciousness to that highest place of wisdom, being the Holy Spirit, the part of our mind that has no fear, the part of our mind that has no illusions and has never forgotten the truth. The Course in Miracles teaches that the Holy Spirit is the bridge of consciousness. The Holy Spirit is very aware of the truth of who you are, and also aware of where you have your misperceptions, also aware of your illusions, also aware when you're scared that you can't pay your next month's rent or mortgage. The Holy Spirit is aware of all of it and is the perfect guide to wake you up, walk you back, and remind you of all that is divinely, naturally, and inherently yours. So there is a part for you to play in this, but it is not in the healing of your mind. Remember that divine love is wholly loving. It will never control you, decide for you, manipulate you, or impose its own thoughts on you. Divine love is loving. And so it waits for your full invitation. You know, if I came to your house and I didn't even knock on the door and I just walked in and started rearranging the place, and even if I knew exactly what I was doing and I was a famous decorator and I was just going to make it look wonderful and I brought all of my own materials, but I didn't even ask you, I didn't even consult with you, I just walked in and took the place over, well, that's not love. That would be an attack. And even if it was for your own good, and even if you were going to be thrilled with the results, wouldn't you be a little offended by that? And divine love will never do this. Divine love waits for invitation, because love is loving. It never pushes. Because in truth, divine love knows that you have never actually become anything less than that which you are. But it is also aware that you have fallen asleep to yourself, the truth of who you are, and this is frightening you. In the Course, it teaches that God introduced the Holy Spirit as the guide to bring you back to what is true the moment you fell asleep to your own true identity, the moment you accepted that you could be separate from God. This was so devastating and scary that now you've been preoccupied ever since, and it's time for all of that fear and sadness and suffering to stop if it is your will. I call the Holy Spirit the teacher of peace. And your ego is the part of your mind that is focused on the false idea of separation. I call that part of your mind your teacher of pain. So right now, as you sit right where you are, there are two forms of thinking in your mind. One is being offered to you by your teacher of peace, being the Holy Spirit, very loving, very wise, very capable, very clear, will always tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, to ensure a peaceful, positive, happy outcome. And then there's this other part of your mind called the teacher of pain. Now remember, it only represents a false idea. It's not a person or a force. It's not something to battle. It is something to recognize as false, meaningless, without value. And so you're not fighting something that's real. You are engaging in a part of your mind that is entertaining what is not true. And the moment you do that, remember, it's kind of like you've stepped into illusions and then you've kind of bought the whole package, and then we become very preoccupied with what is not true. So at this point in time, both the teacher of peace and the teacher of pain are in your awareness, and the one you hear is the one that you choose to listen to. Now, unfortunately, most people listen to the teacher of pain, and they do this because the teacher of pain is very compelling, very convincing. I mean, you feel scared, you feel worried. It's almost like you have to keep your eye on the ball or somebody will hit you with it, you know. The teacher of pain constantly engages you. What about that rash on your arm? What about what that person said? Did you hear what they said? You know, so there's this part of your mind that is critical, judgmental, analytical, constantly trying to engage you in insolvable problems. And through this series, you are going to learn how to identify it and how to respond differently so that you can get to entirely different results. In A Course in Miracles, the idea of a miracle is the result of a shift in perception. So as you learn to allow your perceptions to be healed, this is what prepares fertile ground for miracles to occur. That's when something happens that you cannot explain, that is fantastic, and somehow it happens in a way that you never expected, never planned, never even thought about sometimes. And those miracles are a natural part of the correction process. That's why it's called A Course in Miracles. In fact, the course teaches that miracles are natural. And when they are not happening, something is going wrong. Because when you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you are already engaging in that healing process. You are allowing your guide to guide you back to what is real, what is true, and all that is rightfully yours. You are, in essence, reclaiming your true identity in this amazing, wonderful, loving family that is very rich, by the way, and you are the central part of that family. So as Holy Spirit is guiding you back, you are in the process of this awakening. And through this series, you are learning how to reclaim that true identity, how to release the barriers that you have created against your own feeling of love, ease, happiness, and abundance. You are learning how to stand up to the teacher of pain, which, remember, has no power of its own. Now, it looks powerful because it represents everything that you're afraid of. You know, if you're afraid of being laid off, well, your teacher of pain knows that because it represents the part of your mind that is in charge of distraction and insolvable problems. So whatever you fear, you tend to create. And your teacher of pain is the one to bring it to you and show it to you. So if you have a fear about losing a particular job, then all of a sudden you find yourself being laid off and you go, oh my gosh, you know, I knew I was right. And we tend to validate the fear instead of questioning the part of our mind that is bringing it to us. And that is what we are going to do here. You will learn how to quickly identify illusions and then what to do to ensure a peaceful, positive outcome. Now, of course, everything we are looking at is illusion. but especially those illusions that are distracting and keep us preoccupied, those problems that seem impossible or so complicated that they cannot be solved. These are the areas where we are going to learn to respond differently, and I'm going to call upon you as a group to stand with me, to stand up to these illusions, and you are going to have your own miracles. And then you're going to see that these principles prove themselves. You know, I don't have to sell you on this. If you're already here, you're at the table of wanting a different experience. And what I'm doing is just kind of facilitating the process so that this process can prove itself to you. So you see that most of the time when I talk, it's not about trying to convince you of anything, because there's nothing to convince you of. It's like the light is the light. The truth is true. My part is to kind of help in this process of releasing what is not true, so what is true can be shown. And in a lot of ways, that is one of the easiest jobs there is. It's just I'm showing you what's real, and then what is real will certainly get your attention. So you might think of it this way. You know how I like to put things in images and pictures. So imagine that you're standing on a playground and that you are enjoying the greatness of God's love. You know that you are the holy child of God. There is an infinite flow of God's heavenly gifts and resources flowing through you and to you and extending from you. You are blessed, and you feel so grateful for all that you are. There is a wisdom that guides you in everything you do, everywhere you go, and you are fully aware of all that you're entitled to. You are happy. You are fulfilled. And you know, without doubt, you are cherished. You are the holy child of God. There is only light. Only love is real. There is nothing missing. There is no opposition, because the Creator created no opposition. There is nothing else, nothing less. And there is not a trace of sorrow, lack, scarcity, illness, or fear. You are truly standing in the light and the truth of who you are, infinite, eternal spirit, one with God. And you understand with all your heart that it is God's will that you are happy, and you have been given everything to fulfill your happiness. I want you to just imagine that. Try that on. Just feel that and know that for a moment. And offer to the Holy Spirit, the highest part of your consciousness, your teacher of peace, offer right now that this is what you want to know with your whole heart, and that you wholly want this. And now your Creator loves for you to play on the playground. And on this playground, you are reminded of how powerful you are. You are the child of God. That's a really big deal. And so you are reminded that your thoughts are very powerful. Now, you can never alter the truth of that which you are, because you are the effect of the cause. You can't be anything other than what you are, and nor would we want to be. But as we hold any thoughts in our very powerful mind, if we think ourselves to be anything other than what we are, we will actually project those thoughts as if they are real. That's how powerful we are. You might think about it this way. You know, if you're really worried today and then you go to sleep tonight, doesn't it happen that a lot of times in your dream, that worry that you felt during the day shows up in your dream? You know, there it is. All of a sudden in your dream, you have people having problems or people worrying about things, or all of a sudden you feel that same anxiety you felt earlier in the day, only now it's in your dream. So as we think thoughts about something other than what is true, you are being reminded that you are going to see those thoughts manifest in front of you. Now you're looking at a projection. It's almost like you're in a movie theater and you're looking at the screen, which is the life in front of you, but the projector is in your head, right? It's coming from your mind. And so it's very tempting to look out onto that screen, and if the screen says, I don't have enough money, or I'm losing a job, or I don't have enough income, or my retirement isn't enough, if I have those kinds of fearful thoughts, I am going to look out on my screen, and there it is. And all of a sudden, you look in your wallet, and there's no money. Or you look in your bank account, and there's not enough money. Or you look in your 401k plan, and you see that that account has been reduced just to unforeseen circumstances. We don't realize that the projector is in our mind, and it is our thoughts that are creating the havoc that we are experiencing today. One thing we must accept, it says in A Course in Miracles, is that we are the dreamer of our dream. And if we do not like what we see, it's not up to us to heal that dream. Our part is to understand that we put it there with our projection. It's not the truth. We're looking at what we believe to be true with our thoughts right over the top of what is true. So in essence, we have blocked our sight from the light that we are entitled to. But it says that once we recognize this, now we are in the position to turn our thoughts over to the Holy Spirit and ask for our thoughts to be healed. And until we recognize that we are the dreamer of our dream, we really can't do that. You know, if we feel like the world is happening to us, or that other people are taking from us, these other people are keeping me from my wealth, these other people are causing something to happen in my life, if I see my circumstances outside of me as responsible for my experience of lack, deprivation, or scarcity, or delay, well, now the cause in my mind is outside of me. And your ego's function is to keep it there. Because your ego knows that if it can distract you to thinking that the cause of your problem is outside of you, in those other people or those other circumstances, then it can never be solved. Problems must always be solved at the cause of the problem. And yet the cause of the problem is within our mind. And the Holy Spirit, being our guide back to peace, is standing by eager and ready to help us to heal our misperceptions for us, to intervene on our behalf. This part of our consciousness must be wholly invited. Very important to remember, because sometimes we say, yeah, sure, Holy Spirit, come on in, you know, move around all the furniture in here, take it over, you know, and just tell me what to do, tell me what to think. But we don't realize the areas where we are jumping back into judgment and illusion. And every time we do this, what we're really saying is, I do not want to know my true identity. I do not want the divine inheritance that comes with that. I do not want the happiness that God has given me that I have a right to have. Remember that truth and illusions are completely irreconcilable. When you choose one, when you engage one, you forfeit your awareness of the other. It's almost like trying to go in two opposing directions. Let's say you're trying to go north, but then every time you start to gain some ground and go north, you kind of turn around and run south again. So we don't want to do that anymore, and that is what is producing inconsistency in results. So if you've been praying and listening and practicing, what's probably happening, if you're not advancing in the way that you would like to be, it's very likely that you are turning around in your mind and running south again and again and again, perhaps several times a day. So this course is going to help you tighten that up so that does not happen. So you're out here on this playground, and you are being reminded by the Creator, you are extremely powerful. And, you know, just be aware, not afraid, but be aware that whatever you think about, you're going to project. So to the degree that you hold anything in your mind that is not about love and joy and light and happiness and peace and abundance, then you're going to project that in front of you, and then you're going to validate it because you're looking at it now, and it's going to frighten you. there is something that you are given so that you will always know the difference between truth and illusion. And it is this: only love is real. Now, I want you to think of love as a package deal. The love of God comes with everything. It means there is not a trace of sorrow. It means that you are supplied. It means that you have everything. It means that you are cherished. It means that you would not know a trace of sorrow. It means that you only have joy that constantly increases. That God's love is pure, total, infinite, all-encompassing. There is nothing less. And it comes with more abundance than you have ever possibly imagined. So that's love. And only love is real. And so you have something on the playground that you can weigh anything on the playground against to determine whether or not it should be a problem. And let's just say that out there on the playground, there's another child that comes up and they take your money. They take it out of your pocket and start running away. So you can ask yourself, did that feel like love? And the answer is no, of course it did not, right? Somebody just took your money and ran away. So right away, we can go back to our barometer of knowing what is true and what is false. And we say, well, that didn't feel like love. So I am going to remember that it didn't feel like love. Therefore, it is not real. And what is not real has no power, and what has no power doesn't need to be feared. And so I can take this situation of illusion, whatever I'm looking at here, I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to give it meaning. I'm not going to give it value. I'm going to turn it over to my teacher of peace and get on about my day. Now, the ego part of your mind says you're crazy. The ego part of your mind says, what are you going to do about that money? You better run after him and get that money back. Now the problem is outside of you. Your ego says, you better tear off running and get this solved, or you are going to lose. And what you are learning to do, which is challenging, I will tell you that, and many of you know this already, because your first inclination is to run him down and get your money back, right? But what we are going to do is look at these situations that we have created with our mind, and we are going to do that check-in, and we're going to ask ourselves in this coming week, I'd ask that you practice, ask yourself, does this feel like love? Does it sound like love? Does it look like love? If it doesn't, then we're going to take that whole situation, turn it over to our teacher of peace, being the Holy Spirit, and we are going to recommit ourselves to what is true. And we can do a simple prayer. In fact, any one of those prayers in the prayer book at freeprayerbook.com, that's a copy of my Miracles in Prayer book, and 150 prayers in there are all based on the premise that it starts with the healing of your mind. It would be something like, dear God, this person just took my money and ran off in that direction, and I am learning that this is not your will, that somebody would take my money, and that's not love. Only love is real. Will you please handle this situation for me? I want the truth instead of this, and I choose to know only the greatness of your love through everyone I meet, so I forgive this person completely. They are simply mirroring my old thoughts and beliefs that people take from you, and that they're self-serving, and that they only watch out for themselves, and blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to be willing to forgive them for showing me what I used to believe, and I want the truth instead of this. This is where we're going to respond differently depending upon the situation. We're going to go over many different ways to practice so it becomes a very natural response, and watch what happens as a result. Because the miracle is the evidence. It happens very naturally. The miracle is the evidence that you understand that what you were looking at was an illusion. And the miracle is the evidence that you get that. And so that happens naturally, because when you stop focusing on the illusion and you refocus on the truth, then you get the experience or the effect of the choice that you just made. So here you are on the playground, and you are learning to stand in the truth of all that you are. And of course, we have to include everyone with us. So whoever it is that you're seeing as less than whole or mean or difficult or broke or sad or sick, just spend a few minutes each day for this coming week, and I want you to bring them over here on the playground with you, and I want you to see them around you and with you, perhaps joined as one, and I want you to imagine seeing them whole, happy, rich, healthy, strong, one with you, eternal spirit, free of all limits, and show your higher consciousness that you want to get this. You want to remember the truth of your own reality. And this is the way we demonstrate that we truly want it, is we practice and we stand up to what is not true so that what is true can be shown to us. As you're standing in this playground, and you're being willing and even determined to remember all that you're entitled to, I want you to imagine that right next to you there's a big, thick, white line, you know, almost like one of those lines in a parking lot. And somewhere in your mind, you accepted what is not true. It's like what's on the other side of that white line, which is nothing. But somewhere in your mind, you allowed yourself to accept what is the opposite of truth in the place of truth. It's like you put your big toe over the line. And when you put your big toe over the line, it's like you abandoned what is true in your mind and you accepted what is not true in its place. So this point I'd like to make clear here today is that when you buy one illusion, you buy them all. It's like a package deal. So if you buy the illusion that you can be abandoned, then you also get the lovely parting gift that you can be broke. If you buy the illusion that you can be broke, well, you also get the lovely illusion that you can be sick, and also the lovely illusion that any one of your loved ones can be sick or sad or anxious or scared. So when you stick your toe or any part of your mind over that white line and into what is not true, you buy the whole package of illusions. So where you might be working so hard on trying to pray and stand in the truth, you've been practicing the 90-day program, and that's been going really well, but maybe there's some feeling of inconsistency, and this is because when it comes to money, let's say, you may be standing very strong in just your determination to know, wait a minute, God is my source. Wait a minute, I have a natural right to my flow of abundance as it comes through me. But you may not be realizing that when you accepted that a loved one of yours has cancer and that they could have their health and well-being taken from them, you just reclaimed your right to be broke. I hope that makes sense, but it's not about ignoring someone with cancer. This is where we're going to learn to walk as the loving beings that we are. We're going to learn to respond to the situation that's in front of us, and we might be the first one that's driving someone to their treatment or helping them to get support in a way that feels loving and peaceful for them. But what we must do in our consciousness is be unwilling to cross that line. So even if you're driving somebody to the hospital that just had a tremendous injury, what I'm going to ask of you in your mind, even as you're driving them to the hospital, I'm going to ask you to stay on this side of the line with me. And what that means is even while you're driving to the hospital and maybe they're screaming out in pain and there's a lot to deal with, the greatest thing you can do and the best way you can help them is to reclaim that this is not the will of God. Now, this is what you're saying in your mind. This is not the will of God. God is pure love. I am invulnerable. I am eternal spirit. And this person right here is one with me. This is not the will of God. We want the truth instead of this. I am looking at, I am experiencing my own version of the truth in the place of the real truth. And I want the truth instead of this. You know, the next time you see someone that appears to show up and maybe they say, oh, I'm losing my home because I couldn't make the payments. Does that feel like love? It doesn't feel like love to me to lose your home or run out of money. So we know that we are being tempted by our teacher of pain to step over that line. If you step over the line and you validate it with your mind, whether it's for the other person or for yourself, you have just validated it for everyone. Remember, it's all or nothing in this deal. So we're choosing the all of everything or we're choosing the all of nothing. And let's be committed to our choice of the all of everything, which is rightfully ours. So when that person shows up and they say, you know, I'm losing my home because I don't have the money, you might say something like, well, how about if we pray about this? Or let's take out a free prayer book, Robin's prayer book, and let's go to one of those prayers on, you know, finding a home or helping with income or something like that. Those words will help you to guide that person to choose peace instead of loss and devastation. And at the end of the day, or as soon as you can remember, in your mind, you must acknowledge, wow, what I just heard is someone mirroring to me my old belief in loss. They are showing me that somewhere in my mind, I accepted that we can lose something we care about, that we can run out of something that's important. So God, please heal that part of my mind. I call upon the Holy Spirit to give me the truth instead of this. I wholly want the truth. I have no interest in loss, devastation, lack of income, running out of money, being sick or sad or weak or frail or vulnerable, anything that's on the other side of that white line. I want the truth. While you are learning to ask the Holy Spirit, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say and to whom? You will be given a way to communicate with love. You know, we're not here to say to the other person, you know that's an illusion, right? Wouldn't that be an unloving thing to say when someone is scared or sad or feel like they're facing loss or devastation? You know, we wouldn't even say that to a child that had just, you know, dreamed there was a monster in their room. We would probably sit with them and hold them and say, what is it that's bothering you? And then one by one, we would help them to see what is true in the place of what they were fearing. It's all about love. There is not any time, any part of this is meant to dismiss what you are going through or the experience of pain that you might have right now. We are being guided as we are on this playground to please, please remember how powerful your thoughts are. And the world you're looking at right now is simply mirroring to you your past thoughts about separation. And as you are willing to practice, it just takes a few seconds each time you see something that bothers you. Pause and turn inward and be unwilling to cross that line. Just super glue yourself to the side of claiming your true identity. I am the holy child of God. I have a right to happiness. It is God's will that I have everything, and it has already been given that I would know the happiness that is His will. And then we are in this place of having our eyes opened so that we can see what is already ours and what has already been given. So somewhere along the way, we played with the idea of being something other than that which we are. We accepted the false idea that we could be separate from God. And now we are experiencing that idea as if it actually occurred. And the problem is this, we will look at with our eyes, and when we see the manifestation of that misperception, remember, it's only a projection. Our eyes are reporting to us what we believe. But we are so tempted to leap into the illusion and try to fix it, solve it, change it, chase it, make it different. And our ego is the part of our mind that is very committed to holding that illusion in place. And its function is to always get you to cross that line in your mind, get you over there worrying about something, working on something, trying to fix something. So the beauty is this. If you will not cross that line in your mind, you will watch every one of your problems get quietly resolved. I have seen it. I have walked it, and I live it now. I am proof, as one of your friends, that this stuff works. And what I ask of you this week is be unwilling to cross that line of illusions in your mind, not only for yourself, but for any other person. You might flip on the news and it might say, oh, the economy is collapsing. You know, it's been saying a lot about that. So we have to pause right there. If you accept that and just let it play on through, guess what? You must include yourself in that collapse. Now you have entered, you have stuck your big toe over the line, and what did you do? You bought the whole package. So you not only bought financial collapse, you can also have illness and sadness and abandonment and loneliness, all kinds of ego's lovely parting gifts, right? When you buy an illusion, you buy them all. So when you hear it on the news, you're going to be tough this week. You're going to look at the news. You're going to say, this television or whatever I'm looking at is showing me my old belief in vulnerability, lack, instability, and the idea that there's injustice and there's nothing we can do about it. It's showing me guilt in the people that I think that caused this. We do not want to be right about that. In fact, the true turning point is when we are willing to be wrong about those old misperceptions and limiting beliefs. When we turn them over to the Holy Spirit, we're saying, please heal that part of my mind. I am abandoning those old thoughts. I want only the truth of my true identity, and I accept only the truth of any person I am looking at. I am determined to see the light of Christ in that person instead of their actions, behaviors, guilt, appearance, whatever it is I'm looking at that is disturbing me. Now, at first, it might seem like it's a lot. You know, that's a lot to think about and stand up to. But what I'd like you to do is just spend like 3 days really practicing wherever you see it. Notice how many times it happens. It's on purpose. Your ego is divisive, and it's 100% committed to getting you to engage illusions because it knows that if you will, you will never remember who you are. The ego believes that if you remember who you are, it will cease to exist. So it's actually its own little play on trying to survive. It believes it will cease to exist once you wake up. So it's giving everything it has to getting you to focus on what you fear so that you will try to solve it at the level of the problem instead of at the level of what is causing the problem. All right, let's just take a nice breath there and think about those thoughts. And as we stand on that playground, I'd really like you to stand where you are in the truth of who you are. You don't have to be good at it. You don't even have to know what it is. What your part is to welcome it and to be wholly committed to welcoming it, even when you're scared, even when you're mad, even when you're sad, even when you don't know what to do. You can turn in prayer and say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. You know, guide me in everything I do, but I am learning that I have a right to happiness, peace, abundance, health, safety. I have a right to the love of God. I am the Holy Child, and I want to know the greatness of what all that means. Show me. I am willing to listen, and I abandon what I see in my mind. And it doesn't mean we abandon people, of course. It's just abandoning those old thought forms that put those situations in place. I abandon my past thoughts, and I want the truth instead of this. And now you are wholly inviting the Holy Spirit to heal your mind. In this coming week, we are going to practice, maybe take a few minutes each day, meditating, just seeing yourself in that place of the truth, knowing that there is no gap, that your wealth is already in your account. And I tell you what, when you are committed to seeing it there in your mind, you're going to see it in your bank account. You're going to stand in the truth of who you are. You're going to own it. You're going to live it. You're going to walk with your head held high as if you know how loved and cherished and provided for you are. Your part is to make the choice. Would I know the truth of who I am, or am I willing to engage in illusions, remembering that every time I judge, every time I use what I see to validate my fear, I abandon what is true. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit must wait until you change your mind, because divine love will not decide for you. No matter what happens, what you feel, what you see, what you experience, be unwilling to cross that line of separation in your mind and play with this almost like it's a game. Like, just let yourself enjoy the journey and don't make it so hard. It's not that hard. It does take consistency at first, but you're going to see the miracles that come from it, and then you're going to be eager to practice, more eager than ever before. I sent out some thoughts for the day cards. They're called Miracles and Prosperity Thought for the Day. And what I'd like you to do is print those out and just cut them into little cards and just place them around your house. You're welcome to print out, you know, two or three copies of this and put those cards where you will run into them, you know, in your sock drawer or in your, on the side of your refrigerator or on your mirror in your bathroom, or, you know, put them in places where you feel comfortable to put them, of course, but run into them, read them, breathe them in. You know, the first one is, I am the rich, holy, happy child of God, free of all limits, safe and healed and whole. And remembering that forgiveness is the key to happiness. Forgiveness means to forgive. It means to release from, to let go of what you think you see on the other side of that white line, to turn inward and ask for the truth instead of this, to release your need to judge or to find guilt, and to ask to see innocence in the place of this. This is what will begin to open your mind, open the flow, so that when you go up there to water your lawn, that flow is just streaming through and you have more power and support than you can imagine. Another one of the cards says, I was not created to suffer or struggle. I want the truth instead of this. There is no order of difficulty in miracles. We want to reclaim our right to have a life that works, that's peaceful, smooth, easy, effortless, joyful, happy, abundant. Remember, there is no opposite. The only reason we experience any kind of an opposite or any kind of lack is because we have allowed that idea to take hold in our mind, and it can just as easily be undone with our permission. Another card says, I become aware of everything I have been given as I choose to see only the light of Christ in everyone. This is not easy, but I am calling upon you to at least practice. You know, when you look out in the world, no matter how dark or evil or flawed the other person seems to be, understand that your willingness to see the truth of who they are right through the illusion that you have placed there is how you will find the truth of your own being. It will lead you back to your awareness of your own divine inheritance. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. And we can always ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, to help us to move forward, to show us what to say, to tell us how to communicate with love to anyone so that we can speak in a way that will not increase anyone's fear and is intended only to bring peace to their mind. So today, as we join together, I'm going to just finish with a prayer. We'll go over the other cards as we go through the calls. And take a moment to think about whatever it is on the other side of your white line that really is getting your attention. It might be the feeling that you're going to lose something or that you won't have something. It might be a feeling that your situation has just been going on for too long. Maybe it feels so complicated or reinforced in the way it is, like it's just impossible for it to be different. And let's just bring it right to the front of our mind. And all of us together, we are standing right here on this side of that white line. We are standing in the truth of who we are, and we are unwilling to cross that line. We stand here together, and we will remind each other to not be tempted to go over that line, and we will experience the miracles of happiness, health, peace, and abundance that come in recognition that what we are looking at is false, and we are asking for the truth in its place. So, dear God, we bring to you our own experience of challenge or pain or lack or discomfort, whatever it is that is bothering us right now, whatever it is that is disturbing our peace, we bring it to you together. And we turn it over to our teacher of peace, the Holy Spirit. We want the truth instead of this. We are learning that we are the dreamer of our dream, and we are looking at the effects of our old thoughts and beliefs, and we have no interest, no value in maintaining those thoughts. We want only what you have given. We accept your holy heavenly gifts, that we are worthy, that we have everything good within us, that we are the light of Christ, and every one of our brothers and sisters are one with us in that light. And there's not one person we would leave behind. In our mind, we invite everybody over on the other side, you know, get on over here. Get on over here into the light of truth with us. We stand in the circle of light and certainty. There is nothing else. If we have ever accepted that we could be less than what you created within us, we forgive ourselves. If we have ever accepted that any other person could be less than healed, happy, whole, provided for, safe, and loved, and a blessing in our lives, we are determined to see this differently. We have no interest in maintaining our illusions. We are determined to see the truth instead of this. We are willing to be wrong about those old thoughts and beliefs. Thank you that you would reinforce us as we go forward together, that we will know the certainty of your love in every step we take. We dedicate this entire situation about finances, money, wealth, paying bills, not paying bills, just taking that whole situation, retirement funds, feeling security, the whole entire future, everything that goes with it, and everything as it pertains to the world, the economy, the leaders of this world. We dedicate it all to the light of truth. We want the truth instead of this. Thy will be done. Amen. All right, everyone, we can take a breath there and just feel the peace of that. That is no little prayer that we just did together. When we turn something over and we wholly dedicate it to the light of truth, A Course in Miracles teaches that peace is inevitable. It is certain. So know in your heart right now, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. That what you just did is you invited the highest part of your mind to decide for you, to lead you, to guide you, to hold you, to steady you, and to show you all that is rightfully yours, and that your mind would clear and your smile will return and your heart will feel the height of happiness. You already did it. You made that invitation. And now our part is to be consistent in our invitation and to be wholly focused on what is true and to abandon in our mind, whenever we think of it, what is false. And we know it's false when it doesn't feel like love, it doesn't look like love, doesn't sound like love, throw it back in your mind. And remember, it doesn't mean people or situations. It means the thoughts that we are holding, the thoughts of judgment, the thoughts of fear, worry, anxiety, when it doesn't feel like love, throw it back. We want the truth instead of this.